Each and every one tonight. Let us read again from 1 Peter 2, verse 24, and I want to continue on from this morning. Who brings sickness and who brings health? Verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Let us just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again tonight that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, I pray you'll bless your word to their hearts. Bless your people tonight. We pray again for John and Carl, you'll bless them, and for Sammy and the family in Australia here, that you'll bless them, and for Brother Yule, you'll bless them as well. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit tonight, and I thank you, undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless and heal my mother. Bless Samuel and his wife and the children and heal them. And Lord, any others that's laid aside sick, heal them, we pray. And Father, for those at work tonight, bless them and strengthen them. Bless again our brother Keith. Bring him a full recovery, Lord, and strength into his body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Now bless your word till our hearts, we pray. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want tonight to start out by where we had finished with Deuteronomy 7 verse 15. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 15 it says, "And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knewest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." So what do we see from this God's word tonight? We see that the diseases and sickness is not to be laid upon God's people, but upon the enemies of God's people. So these diseases and sickness are to be laid against the enemies of God's people, but not upon God's own people. Now, this is no testament, but nevertheless it's still true. Now there's two things David says here in Psalms 103 verse 3, and you can read it. And in Psalms 103 verse 3 there's three things: who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. So the Lord not only forgives all your iniquities, but the Lord heals all your diseases. So whatever affliction is upon the people of God, God can heal you from it. But he starts off with forgiving all your iniquities, then he heals all your diseases. So salvation is to the uttermost, and it is the most important thing above healing is salvation. But on you're saved and believing in the Lord, you can expect to be healed as well, because it does not take any more out of God, as it were, for to heal you. Because the price has already been paid for you, for your healing upon the cross. Jesus bled and died to save and to heal. "By my stripes ye were healed," he sent his word and healed them all. So the Lord forgives all thy iniquities, and the Lord heals all thy diseases. Also, there's three things here in the third epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 2. "Beloved, I wish you above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health." So the Lord is saying that When you bless somebody, you will see, if we get to the end of this message, I want to preach that there's power in the tongue. Power of life and death. When you speak a word of blessing upon somebody, if you were to take the life of Abraham, God said to Abraham, Abraham, whoever you will bless, I will bless. Whoever you will curse, I will curse. Abraham had that power. Jesus had that power. We as the people of God are not Abraham and we're not Jesus. But because we're saved, we have to have power as well. And we should believe when we say something, it can happen. So when you say, brother, I bless you in the name of the Lord, it's not just a word. There's something with it. There's something with it when you say that. It's like, you know, like I told you the story about the man and he kept saying, Lord, curse these eyes. And he kept saying it, Lord, curse these rotten eyes. And one day, years ago, this is a true story. I read this old story years ago in a little booklet I was reading. And he's working in a coal mine and the explosion went off before he sounded off. Before he expected to go off, and it blew up and blew his eyes out. So he got what he asked for. So we have to be careful what we say. If we say we're sick, we will be sick. If we say we're well, we can be well. So we need to be positive. And Brother Branham said the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. Now look what he says here. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul does prosper. And you know your soul's prospering because your soul's saved. Not saved for death, saved for all eternity. Did you know that? Your soul is saved for all time and all eternity. Beyond time. It's saved. Once you're born again of the Spirit of God, your soul is saved. So your soul is prospering. And the Lord is saying here to his servant, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. God wants you to have a good job. God wants you to prosper. God wants to bless you. God wants to do it for you. And God can do it. Amen. Amen? And not only does God want to prosper you, but God wants you to be in good health. When you read of some of these wonderful men of God, take Moses for one, 120 in his eyes weren't in. Now your Bible says, there's men in the Bible that lived to almost 1,000 years of age. And you know they're saying people's living longer today than they ever lived for a long time. But no matter how long you're going to live, you're going to die. And many people put it off, well, I'm going to die anyway, so I don't need to worry about getting healed. No. Wigglesworth said, I can be well while I'm alive. God made provision for that. I don't have to go about sick. I can be well because provision is made in the Word of God for me to be well. And God does not bring sickness upon His people. That's the devil. That's the devil. And he's a liar. Amen. That thou mayest prosper, be in good health, even as your shoulders prosper. Now, in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 19 to 20, how many of God's promises may we claim through faith in Christ? How many do you think? How many of them do you think you're able to claim? Well, let's read what the Word of God says. Now, this is really a Bible study, but this is to get it down within you, in your heart and in your mind and in your life, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing by God's Word. 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Not nay and yea, but in him was yea. In other words, there's no doubt about it, it's all yes. That's what he's saying. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. So all the promises of God are available for you. They're yea. And it's amen, he says at the end of it. Let it be. So be it. So you can appropriate, you can believe all these promises of God are for you. All of them. You can have every one of them. Praise God. Now, you know that he, you know why Christ was manifested? The reason why Jesus was manifested in John 3 verse 8 tells us why Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the devil had works. He had works. And all the works that the devil brought upon humanity, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, was manifested to destroy them works of the devil. So you see, the Lord wants to bring you health and blessing and prosperity. The devil wants you in poverty and sickness. He's nothing good for you. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. So the devil's nothing he can offer us as good, but the Lord has. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Not only was he manifested to destroy the works of the devil, when you receive him and he's in you, he's part of you, you're part of him, he's the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in him, he abides in you. That's your life source. This Zoe, life's the Greek word for that eternal life. So the life of God is now in you. That life can overcome the enemy that's already in you. You don't have to go down to bring him up or up to bring him down. He's now in your midst. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of them, and that's a blessed man. It's the devil that doesn't want you to be blessed. Do you ever notice, has God ever blessed anybody here? Let's say the Lord's blessed you with a sum of money. Do you ever notice the devil does all he can to rid you from it as quick as he can? Do you ever notice that? They're shoving for it to get it away quick. He does not want God to bless you. Do you ever notice once you get over, if you're sick and you're recovered, he wants to bring somebody else upon you to bring it down again? That's the devil. That's not the Lord. That's the devil. He's a friend. But the Lord loves you. And here's the thing about our Savior. We can heal us every time. And we might need healed today. In a few weeks we might need healed again. He'll do it again. God will do it again. While we're in these bodies, every one of us is subject to what's about. On this earth we can do nothing about it, but the Lord can bless us while we're here and prosper us and heal us. And every one of us at some stage will need the Lord's healing and the Lord's blessing upon us, but we have to know how to get it from the Word of God. God wants us to know it. And we do it by faith. By believing by faith, we get it. And he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Now, in Acts 10:38, you could read it, for what purpose did God anoint Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost? Do you know why God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost? Acts 2:38 tells you, to do good, not to do bad, to do good, and to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. So we see the devil oppresses people. I've said it before, I'm saying it again. He is an oppressor. But Jesus was manifested. Jesus was anointed. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Let me just read it. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the Lord went about. Why was he anointed to do the job? That's why a preacher today must have the Holy Spirit anointing. If he's going to be a preacher. You say, when a man stands up and he says, now we cannot expect to have anything following us today. We're just mortal men. It's all fulfilled. Now that man to me is not even called to God. That boy should take a job selling newspapers or something, but he should stay away from God's people on the house of God. He is a hypocrite. Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission. It's never changed.
Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
To every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
That's the words of the Lord. Who believes the words of the Lord? I do. I do not accept anything, you know, because somebody can't see it work, they think then nobody can see it work. Well, there is people seeing it work. God is doing it today.
Amen.
There's people being saved today. While we're here, there's other parts of the world people are being saved and healed right now.
Yes.
God never stops working. You can't tire God out, you say. God's not like me and you where he gets tired. Jesus tired, for the Bible says he slept. But the Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. But you see, Christ had to become a man to feel everything you felt and I felt. But his Father strengthened him. And he filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he filled him with the Holy Ghost and power. That's why Jesus could quote Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he has anointed me. He has sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and bring deliverance to captives." That's what Jesus came to do.
Amen.
Praise God. To do good and heal all that were oppressed of the devil. So a real preacher, when he preaches the gospel, should expect to see people delivered from oppression.
Yes.
That's part of the gospel.
Amen.
That's part of the message. Whose will did Christ come to do? Christ didn't come to do man's will. He came to do the Father's will. John 5 verse 50. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Jesus came to do his Father's will. He was not sent by some organization by the set of rules. Or the wee set of notes that he had it stick by. And we believe these so many points, and you can't go outside of it. No, the Lord never worked like that. He was the Word. He was the Word of God. He was manifested. God sent him. Praise God. That's why he's the chiefest of all apostles. Apostle means sent one. In John 6:38 it says, "For I came not down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." This is why Jesus is, I often say why Jesus is different than Muhammad and Buddha, haven't I? You've heard me saying it, because death had no claim on him. That's only one reason. Here's another one. This is a good one. When somebody talks to you about Buddha and Muhammad and all these religions, you can tell them this. Buddha and Muhammad cannot say, "I was sent down from heaven." They were born sinners. Jesus was sent from heaven. Sent down from heaven. Jesus could say before Abraham was, "I am." He was God manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. God came in him. God was veiled in him. God was represented in him. Great is the mystery of godliness. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God. None of the rest of them were God manifested in flesh. And there's no prophet is God like Jesus was manifested in the flesh. They cannot be. They never will be. Because he is the only begotten Son of God. He's not just our son. We are sons. But he's the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
He pre-existed ever before he was here as a man. He could say what Buddha or Muhammad cannot say. He could say, "All things were made by him. All things were made for him. And without him, does not anything exist that does exist. You were made by him. You were made for him. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And he loves you tonight. And he wants to heal you and give you health and strength in your body while you're on this earth." God can do it.
Amen.
I believe it with all my heart. and the devil's a liar.
Amen.
I said to Brother Jeff this morning, you see, we don't know all the mind of God and the plan, what the Lord works. But you know, when a brother come off the bike, who knows? Let's say the bike, he had went further on down the road, something worse could have happened than what did happen. But everything's for a reason. And the Bible says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And we should always commit way to the Lord everywhere we're going. I'm a big believer in praying before I go out every morning that God will bless my goings out, bless my comings in, and that the Lord will prosper me and give me favor wherever I'm going and whatever I'm doing. I went to do something recently. I was so nervous, I couldn't do it. And I couldn't understand why I was so nervous, I couldn't even do it. And then I had to go back again 2 weeks later and I prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't know why I'm nervous, but you need to fix it because I can't. And the Lord just fixed it and everything was all right. And that just went. Now, you wouldn't think I'm nervous, but I didn't either till that happened. So things can happen we don't expect to happen. But we have a secret, prayer. And the Lord's ears ever opened our cry. Praise God. So Jesus came to do the Father's will, nobody else's will. Not the will of the church, the organization. But he came to do the Father's will. Now if you were to read the word of God, how many did the Lord heal when he was here? Matthew 8 verse 16. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. How did he cast them out? With his word. So if we preach the word of God, if we say we're preaching the word of God, what does it do? It casts out devils. That's why William Branham made this statement. He said there's more demons cast out by the preaching of the word than any other way. Because if we're preaching under the anointing of God, the true word of God, it will cast devils out. Now I don't believe there's devils in here tonight to be cast out. But when you go to preach somewhere where there's people that's unbelievers and all sorts of things you come against, when you're out there yourself tomorrow, you just remember this is for you as well. When you speak the word of God, there is no word of God void of power. Every word of God's got power in it. Remember that. And God watches over his word to perform it. He keeps an eye on his own word. It's his word. It's God's word. You're working with something that can't be broken. He could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie. Now we know that God was bound to that word with an oath. The other priests never bound themselves to it by an oath, but Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, was bound to it by an oath. So he swore to it that he would keep it. He cannot break it. And the Bible says he can swear by no greater, so he swear by himself. He can't go above it. It's unchanging word of God. All that came to him were healed. All. Isn't it the same of salvation? How many will be saved? All that will come to them.
Amen.
Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's God's word.
Yes.
He will save all that will come.
Amen.
A lot won't come. But he'll save all that comes.
Yes. Amen.
And I believe if you come with the right attitude for healing, God can heal you too. Now I don't mean come to a preacher, I mean come to the Lord. Now God uses preachers. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We believe that. And the man of God can give you a word and God can do it. We believe that. But it's ultimately the Lord that's doing it. Praise God. Now you know that in Matthew 13 verse 58... that Christ couldn't heal some people, and the only reason he couldn't heal was because they had unbelief. And where there's unbelief, the Lord himself couldn't work. Can you imagine how difficult it is for a preacher? If Jesus himself could not work, let me read you it. It's Matthew 13 verse 58. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. belief stops the move of God. That is why it must be repented of. And we must have faith in God. Now, does God ever change his mind? Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. So God never changes his mind. Never. And in James 1:17, look what it says in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no changing or going back with God. He's not an Indian giver. I remember one time a dear woman, the Lord bless the critter, but she gave me an organ. You know what you play? Organ. And it was quite an old one compared to what we have now, but anyways, she said they couldn't use it. She gave it to me, so I couldn't play it. So I knew a man that could play it, so I gave it to him. Why waste it? Several years passed, I got a phone call one night from this certain person, and they said, I want the organ back. I said, I don't have the organ, I've given it away. You give it to me, I give it to somebody else. Oh no, but I want it back. So I had to go and beg the man, please, this person give it to me, I give it to you, they want it back. What can I do? Jesus doesn't work like that. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When God gives you a gift, even if you went out and lived like the devil, you have still that gift. Did you know that? He never takes it from you. If you're really saved and born again, you're always saved. You can never be lost. You can lose the joy, but you cannot lose salvation, because it's not yours to lose. For it's the Lord saves you, not you that saves yourself. This is why people get it wrong. They think they're doing it. And they think, well, you know, my points didn't rack up this week. I get 5 out of 10, so I'm out. God doesn't work like that. Whether you have 5 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 or whatever, the Lord sees you perfect. Because he looks at you through the blood. Justified. And it's the Lord that saves you. Now, I'm not telling you to go and live like the devil. I'm not saying that. But we're not saved by works. But our faith, our works proves our faith. We will do the right thing because we're believers. But thank God it's God that does the saving. So God never changes. Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same yesterday, today and forever. He never changes. Never. So whatever God once did, he can still do. What was the purpose of Christ's death on the cross? Do you realize the purpose of Christ's death on the cross? And I want to look at three things here. We'll go to Matthew 8 verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses on the cross. Now this is really the same as our first reading in 1 Peter 2:24. It's the same thing really. The two scriptures are saying the same thing. Himself took our sicknesses, our infirmities. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself took them. He didn't say you took them. You couldn't take them. He took them for you. He took your infirmities and he bare. He suffered all that you could ever suffer. He did it for you so that you could be escaped from it. He nailed it on the handwriting of ordinances, Galatians says as well, that was against us, to the cross. That's the commandments that would condemn you. He nailed to the cross. Do you realize that? All the writing of ordinances which could be written against us, which he says is contrary to us, because we're now new creatures in Christ Jesus, he nailed to the cross. He took them out of the way so that he made you free. Nailed it all to the cross. Our first reading says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes ye were healed. The Lord already healed you on the cross. People think the Lord will come in the room and the Lord will heal me. The Lord's already healed you. He's actually already did it. You have to believe he did it and confess he did it. It's just like the Lord coming in to save you. He already saved you on the cross, but you had to come to acknowledgement of it and a repentance and call on the name of the Lord. Then you had the manifestation, healings, and sanctuary. God's already done it. Praise God. Our infirmities and sickness and our sins, he took them all to the cross. As a result of these three things, you know what we can have in our lives because of this? In 1 Peter 2:24, we can be dead to sins. Dead to sins. Doesn't Paul say sin will no longer have dominion over you? People say, you know, I can't stop it, I can't help it. That's not true. I don't believe that. You can. God can give you the victory over it. I had things in my own life that I could not stop, or I had no power over it. They'd come, temptations, different things. When I prayed enough, God dealt with it within me, and he took it away. And I come back around years later, and I look back, and I thought, the Lord has really delivered me from this. It no longer has a power or a hold over me. No more. God done it. But you must yield it to God. And if you have an area in your life, now that totally, you know what I'm talking about. If you have something you're struggling with, you need to give it to the Lord. And you need to tell him about it. And he already knows all about it, but he wants you to tell him. He is your priest.
Amen.
Now you don't have a priest that you don't talk to. The priest is there to be used. And the Lord wants you to talk to them. And the Lord wants you to use them and pray to them. And tell them, and ask, you ask the Lord to give you power over that. God will do it.
Amen.
And God will bring you into a place that you never knew you could be in. When you overcome them things, God can do it. I'm telling you now, God can do it. You know, it's like a man that has no control over drink. And he's no power to stop it. He's nothing within himself to stop it. But when he receives Jesus Christ, he receives a power.
Amen.
That overcomes that. Like a man that smokes. Now I did try smoking when I was young, but I thank the Lord, it never got a hold of me. I never was addicted to smoking. But I know people that are, they can't stop it. I know one wee man, and he talks about other people smoking, and he smokes like a train himself, but he doesn't know he's doing it. It's so familiar to him, he doesn't actually know he's doing it. And he says, I've cut down, and every minute he's a fag out. Now, you, no matter what you do with him, beating him and tonguing him, it won't deliver him. But God can. God can deliver him. And God can break that addiction just like that, like snapping a log, a stick. God can break it. And God can free a man from it. I'll tell you, I know people, they quit smoking in their own esteem. And they'll tell you, I've heard people say this, there's never a day I don't crave them. I don't believe when you're delivered you'll be like that. I believe you wouldn't crave it. I believe the Lord breaks it. I believe it's gone from you, broken away from you. And if the devil did try to give you to crave it, you have the strength within you to overcome it. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Even if the devil tempted you with it, and he will do it. I'm not saying he won't ever, he surely will. But you have something within you that's greater, and you can overcome it. The strength within, the power of God, the word of God, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We can be dead to sins. Here's another one. We can live unto righteousness. Now we could never live under righteousness of our own strength, our own means, but we are righteous because of his righteousness. But we have to accept that. We must accept it. And we are righteous. I was at the Pigeon Club last night. We went to the first race last night. And there's one wee man, he was in there, and he says, I'm away to say a few prayers. And he was letting me know he was going to say a few prayers at the chapel. But yet he curses, smokes, drinks, he does it all, and he's going to say a few prayers. You see, the man's no strength within him to overcome. And I was reading just yesterday a little bit about the Catholic priests. And the Catholic priests actually believe that the same investment is in him that's in Jesus. That he's on par with Jesus to forgive sins. He is absolutely an apostate. Antichrist. He's no power to forgive your sins. Not one.
That's right.
That man's going to pray. You know he's very sincere, the man, to go. You couldn't deny it. People are sincere that go. But they're in darkness. They're in real darkness. Only the Lord can bring them out of that darkness. You know, you think of it, Brian Freeborn was a Catholic. John McFadden was a Catholic. Both of them altar boys. Look how God brought them out of darkness. A fellow me and my father knows, Terry Copley, a great testimony. How God brought them out of Romish darkness to the gospel of Christ. Then he realized he found the real priest. And these others were fakes. But they were bigger sinners than the man that were hearing. And they had to be. Because you can't hear another man's sins and it's not affect you. If you read Roberto Rivero's book, he said it affected him greatly when he heard the things people did. When they confessed to him, it disturbed him. That's why many priests do drink. They don't know what else to do. They turn to alcohol. Because they're disturbed. They have no peace. Martin Luther was a monk of the Augustine order. That's one of the highest orders, the Catholic Church. And he had no peace, and he could find no peace. And he stripped himself absolutely naked and lay on a cold floor for days. And he beat himself with sticks and whips and belts and all sorts of things. And he went through all types of trials and different things to get peace with God, and he could find none. And he went to one above him, and he told him, and he told him, read the Word of God. And he read Romans, just shall live by faith. Not by laying on the floor suffering. Christ suffered for you. Christ did it for you. Amen. You can't do it. All the works man can do can achieve salvation. All the righteousness man can make up of his own filthy rags before God. But this righteousness comes through Christ and Christ alone. But you must fully believe it. You must fully believe he's done it for you. If you're fully believing it, then you're trying to do it. You still need a revelation. You must rest in it. Cease from your own works. And rest in it. No more a struggle. The Lord does it for you. You rest upon the Lord. Whatever the devil tempts you with, give it over to the Lord. Tell the Lord about it. Give it to them. Hand it over to them. Full surrender. Nothing less. God will give you the victory. Hallelujah. By his stripes we are healed. So you see, we can be dead to sins and we can live on the righteousness. And this third one is, by his stripes we are healed. By the stripes of Christ. Let me read just Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hang upon a tree. He became a curse for us. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now the reason it says that is because no man could keep the law. Yes. Let me read you Deuteronomy. How many kinds of sickness were included under the curse? Now all these kinds of sickness that were included under the curse, he delivered us from every one of them. Amen. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15. Matthew put it up. And the several verses 15 to 22 and 27. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed thou shalt be in the city, and cursed thou shalt be in the field. Cursed shall thy basket be, and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kin, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And it goes on and on and on if you read Deuteronomy. And then you book the chapter 30 and you keep reading, and it's all these curses. And all these curses are included under this curse of the law. So when you take all these curses and you bring them all together, Jesus Christ took all these curses off us and replaced them with blessings. Blessed be thy bread. Blessed be thy water. Blessed when thou goest out. Blessed when thou comest in. Blessed be thy seed. Blessed be thy kin. That's what the Lord says. For love and a wish above all things I must prosper and be in health. That's what God said. Because he took this curse. Now let me read you this, and I'm coming to a close. And it's only 5 to 7, but I'm going to come to a close. Let me read this. From God has a provided way. We are not here to represent divine healing. We're not even featuring divine healing. We're featuring Jesus Christ, Son of God. And when you feature Jesus Christ, you feature divine healing. Because it's the attributes of his death what gives us salvation and healing for our bodies. And there's no power within any man that can heal another person. Healing has already been purchased at Calvary. And the only thing that we can do is point men to where that one time all sufficient sacrifice was made by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In there we just look and live and make the way and we accept it. A minister couldn't save no one. He could only preach the gospel if he's anointed of the Holy Spirit and point people to the place where they were saved. They were saved 1900 years ago, 2009 years ago at Calvary. You have to accept him as your personal savior now to have the benefits or dividends off his death and enjoy the attributes of what he died for. So Christ's already done it. He says no one can do it. Jesus has done it. And every true preacher anointed with the Holy Ghost will point you to that. So when somebody comes and doesn't say that, you have a problem. He's not pointing you to the Word. He's pointing you to himself or to another man. That's wrong. It must be to Christ and Christ alone. Let me read you this, be certain of God, and I'm closing. God of Elijah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who brought again Jesus, his Son from the dead, raised him up for a propitiation for our sins, and he raised him up for our justification. And the poet well expressed it when he said, living he loved me, died he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, someday's coming a glorious day. Lord, look at those hands around this country now. And he's talking about all the boys and girls and everybody raised up. The Holy Spirit will not lead one of them out, but shall give to each one according to their need. And we know that we have your word saying, according to your faith, they shall receive. Where's your faith tonight? Give to them faith tonight, Lord, and may they be certain that every promise of God is true. If they'll only wait, for it's written, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not faint. They shall walk and not be weary. Lord, teach us to wait upon thee. Lay hold of eternal life and every promise in the Bible. And wait upon thee for salvation of our souls, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for the joy in our hearts, for healing of our bodies, for every redemptive blessing that you died for at Calvary. Wait upon them. Pray for them. Let us have faith tonight to know that God did not cause Christ to suffer in vain. That was for all generations. For it is written, whosoever will, let him come. While we are coming, Lord, grant that we will receive, for we ask it in Jesus' name. This is a different type of language I hear so many people preaching. But they say they're preaching what this man preached. They are not. They are not. He is preaching the gospel. He's preaching Christ. Didn't you hear Christ mentioned? Weren't you pointed to Jesus Christ? That's the way it is every time. And it's Christ and Christ alone. We must wait upon the Lord for salvation. Wait upon the Lord for healing. And the Holy Spirit and the Lord will grant it to us. Who brings disease? The devil. Who brings the blessing? God. Who's your righteousness? Jesus Christ. Who's your peace? Jesus Christ. He's your peace. He's your righteousness. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. If anyone wants prayer, I'm not going to call you forward. Just lift your hand while every head's bowed, every eye closed. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. You believe God tonight. You tell the Lord for your sitting. Whatever your need is, and then I'll agree with you and pray. And God can do it. Lay your hand. If you have an ailment, put your hand upon it. While I pray, and you believe God, and you expect you're going to be better. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your precious word of truth. Your word is the truth. You said we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And him who the Son sets free is free indeed. No longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Father, you see the hands raised tonight in the service. Father, I agree in prayer, and you know the need. And I pray you'll touch my brother, you'll touch my sister. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it for your glory. You purchased it at the cross. You've done it already. But we, by appropriating faith, believe. And we reach out to you in faith, asking that it shall manifest upon the people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the boys and girls here as well. Bless the mothers and fathers, those at home that's already been mentioned. Bless them and heal them. Heal my mother tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I send thy blessing upon her in Jesus' name. Heal Linda. I send thy blessing upon her in Jesus' name. For any others that need your touch, we send your blessing upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, save our loved ones also, we pray. Lord, we know that where the tokens apply, the Holy Spirit can go to work. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will go to work upon that young man, upon that young woman, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Convict them of their sin, of their unrighteousness, and bring them to salvation, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless everyone in this room tonight. For anyone that would hear this sweet message, may they be blessed, may they be healed, and may they sense the presence of the Lord upon your own word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I bless your people now, and according to your word, I bless every boy, every girl, every man and every woman in this room, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Bless us as we go, going out, coming in. Prosper us, watch over us. Lay your hand mightily upon us as we commit ourselves to thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Please don't forget to pray for me. I'm going to Norway on Friday. And maybe Brother Mark and my dad can preach on Sunday. And maybe Brother Gary can preach this Wednesday. I'll be here, but is that alright, Gary, Wednesday night? Praise God. I want to keep getting these young fellas shooting, you know, with the Word of God. And you pray for all the services. And we've enjoyed it. Brother Ian preached one on Wednesday. It was wonderful. And Brother Mark preached Wednesday past. And Brother Yule one of the other weeks. And we've really had a blessing with these different meetings. And we just appreciate each one. I know there's not many here tonight, but the Lord bless each one that's came. And you don't know where God's word will go or what it will do, but it will not return void. So the Lord bless each one. And this ring's still here. Nobody's claimed this ring. It's still here. So if you know anything about it, let one of the deacons know. Praise God. And the Lord bless you. I'll see you as Wednesday night. The Lord will. God bless each one.
Let's start our faith. We'll sing a hymn. We'll sing. I will sing.